The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. It takes a certain kind of brave to run a business. We see it, we back it.
Now, have a listen to this.
Good evening. Would you mind answering a few questions about the Market House?
Certainly.
Do you think it's a traffic hazard yourself?
Well, the buses do seem to have difficulty in manoeuvring around it, you know.
Do you think the Market House should be demolished?
Oh, no, I think it should be restored because it's a fine example of Georgian architecture. As a child, I can remember Countess Markovic speaking from the corner of the Market House and our present president.
Hello, would you be in favour of pulling down this building?
Oh, definitely I would.
Why?
It's a terrible eyesore.
Reporter Lelia Doolan there chatting to people from Mount Rath in 1962 about whether the old Market House should be demolished in the centre of the town to make the road easier for buses to navigate. So what could we learn from history as we're seeing more people move out of cities for the good life in rural Ireland? We're joined by Valerie Mulvan, architect and author of Approximate Formality. Valerie, you're very welcome. Just listening to that clip about the debate about demolishing part of the town, we haven't always been kind to our towns, have we?
No, we really haven't. And I suppose one of the reasons I wanted to write this book was to do with trying to understand what was particular about Irish towns. And when you peel it all back, it's about this incredible form and containment that they have. They're about making great spaces for markets, for living, for shopping, for people to gather. And we've kind of forgotten all that and pursued a suburban kind of existence. But when you look at the numbers of really brilliant spaces that there are, you realise that they could create an incredibly good instant environment for people to live in again.
What's distinctive about the Irish town? What is there in that to celebrate?
Well, lots. And I suppose some of it depends on when the town was built. And I've kind of tried to do a survey of the whole sweep of Irish towns from the very earliest proto-monastic towns right up to the time of the landlord. And looking at each kind of era in history, each thing brings its own extraordinary ideas to it, like the Normans with grids and squares, the Renaissance with very particular ideas about how to make new spaces that were new ways of thinking, circles, diamonds, all kinds of things. And, you know, then landlords thinking about how they could make their own particular print, because we often think landlords built houses, their own country houses. But actually, their biggest project was usually a town that was attached to that and was part of a whole environment.
And are there examples? And there are. I'm thinking about your own favourites here, ones that are of note. Examples of them doing that well in Ireland among towns.
All over the place. Yeah, all over the place. And I suppose what is really interesting is that we've kind of lost the sense of that. We look at towns like Westport, or Clonmel, which are very particular. Westport from a landlord point of view, Clonmel as a medieval town. And those are very good examples of very strong towns where we can see the advantage of making these fantastic series of spaces that are totally integrated into their geography, into nature, into history. But then we kind of forget them. And sometimes road engineers have carved a corner off here or there and have lost the containment that the space
Have
has.
We wrecked too many of them? Beyond
well, we've certainly gone a lot. We've gone a long way towards wrecking a lot of them. But
and the ones that aren't, you know, when you cite some beautiful town examples there, what was the difference in that town, in any of those towns, compared to another town? Did it boil down to forceful personalities of a town planner or local politicians taking advice from people about, no, we shouldn't do this, we shouldn't do that, we should try and keep what we have?
Well, your clip on Mount Rath is a really good example, because people were very torn in the 60s about following modernity, trying to get out of what they felt was a kind of a rut of stagnation and emigration. And all those things are true. And I've quoted Kevin Barry's book in this, There Are Little Kingdoms, which describes the kind of the misery of Irish towns in the 70s and 80s. And we all know that world. But what I think has changed now is that people have changed, first of all. The pandemic has shown us that you can live in a different place from where you work, or that you can live remotely, or that you can live in a place and be the centre of a business which radiates out into the world. And that doesn't have to be in a centre, in a capital city or in a big town anymore.
Culturally, have we had a strange relationship with our towns? Because when I think of Ireland in terms of literature, in terms of imagery, we have the rural thatch cottage, Connemara, this is the thing. Or maybe people would aspire to have a very fine house in the country in rural Ireland with beautiful views. Or people aspire to have a very fine house in a city. Mm-hmm. And we think about literature, we have literature coming from Limerick City, from Dublin. But the town is kind of almost forgotten about.
Yeah, it's a funny thing. And I suppose that, you know, in a sense, we were all busy getting out of them. There was, and even in terms of literature and so on, people had to go somewhere else to find a way of living. So economy was a big driver. And I think that's the big change now, is that the economy is not the driver anymore. You can have maybe two great shops in a town, which will suddenly enliven a whole space. Could be a bakery, could be a butcher, could be a bookshop. And there might be almost nothing else. And my view is that these towns are an incredible possibility for us to solve a housing crisis, for example, to fill the towns with people again. That would be the main thing that would really help it.
What, first of all, I was going to say, what would it take to bring that about? Incentives, there might be state assistance to incentivize people, changes in planning laws, perhaps, to open up things. But you also have to make people have to want to live there. It's more the ideal in the country to have a big house a mile outside the town rather than in the town. This is what people tend to aspire to.
I think that's changing a lot now. I think there's an awful lot of people, from my generation downwards, to all young people now have lived in Berlin and Copenhagen and Stockholm. They've seen different ways of living, and they've seen how small places can really work. And the whole aspect of making a community, I suppose, is the key aspect to all of that. So the first ingredient has to be the people. People have to come back. They have to want to come back, as you say. And what would make them come back? Well, I suppose understanding what the context is of a particular place, enjoying it and seeing its potential. You could buy a house in an awful lot of Irish towns for an awful lot less than you could buy somewhere else. Now, you will have to spend money refurbishing it. That will need assistance from the banks, from the insurance companies, from the fire officers, from the local authorities. So there's a lot of head banging that needs to go on.
We often look with great envy at towns in France or in Spain or in Italy, and they look wonderful. And we often think that maybe our own towns don't. But what you're saying, and you're getting across in the book, is that they are beautiful places, many of them. We need to look at them afresh. I mean, does that involve, not having car parks in the middle of the town square and be going back to cobblestones?
Well, I think the important thing is that you create a surface and you create a sense of containment again. You create the sense that this is a place, that there's a form to it, that it has a strength. And the cars can come in at the back. I'm not saying you have to ban them totally, but I think the car needs to be a second class citizen to the people. And if you get the people back into them, and if they have a place that they can manage and that they can live, and that there's a way of living, it's not going to be the same as it was. It's not going to be that the whole town will become alive with tiny shops. It won't. But there will still be retail things on the outskirts that people will want.
I mean, again, if you look at, small towns in continental Europe, often you think, oh, wouldn't it be wonderful if I lived in this town? I get up, I go outside the door, and there's a lovely vegetable shop here, and there's a little cafe and an old sweet shop there. The reality is, it might be more likely to be a betting shop or a bookies on a main street in an Irish town now.
Well, it could be. But I think, again, that I do think that is all changing. I think there's a huge growth of people who really want a better environment to live in. Good air, good light, access to nature. And yet that kind of communality of living within a group of people.
Having,
that's the thing.
Having done the book and looked with a particular eye on so many Irish towns, what's your favourite?
God, this is such a really difficult question, and I'm going to be killed for saying any particular town. But I think Mitchelstown has to be pretty high up there. It's such a special town. It has such a great relief and geography, first of all. And then there's all these different things that happen in different places. Great axes that are actually going across valleys. Protestant church back to a main square. Catholic church across the other side of the valley. Market house down underneath it. Big market square. It's like a Greek town. It really is. And all these little things with their visual axes between them. Terribly exciting place. And
an exciting place that's like a Greek town. That's a real thumbs up. Valerie Mulvan, author of Approximate Formality. Thank you very much for joining us on the programme.